Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening to the Saturday night frolickers, dancing the ancient dance, holding a skeleton hand, singing a song. Good evening to all those riptide casters. Good evening to all you summertime kayakers. Good evening to the orca whale. What are you waiting for? It's time. Because it is Saturday, June the 14th, 2025, it is still, maybe technically, Bo Blimp Doc. A more or less 5-year window covering a fuzzy event, who knows what they're covering up. But I think Bo Blimp Doc is nearly over. I think Grinkin' time is beginning. I think the fake will take a break. And the real will be the deal, and it'll be a steal. Because it's 8 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. And yeah, how you doing? The first thing I'm going to read you, or I think I'll read you the whole thing if I can, again. I took a look at it already, but I vomit a little when I think about the subject. The first thing I'm going to read you, I want you to file under a dog eating its own shit. Title and headline. Oh boy, continue to cite. Yeah, I don't need pop-up, you jerkazoid. Fucking pop-ups. Title, Treasury steps into Fed's shoes. Besent fires 10 billion bazooka to calm the bond market's tantrum. This is written by Stephen Innes, SPI Asset Management, and this comes from FXStreet.com. Besent is stepping into the Fed's empty shoes without asking for permission. In markets, when central banks sleep at the wheel, treasuries tend to veer off the road, and right now, the bond market is careening toward a cliff. With Fed Chair Powell still stubbornly twiddling his thumbs despite 30-year yields edging towards the hair-raising 5% cliff, oh my god, that's 500 basis points, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent isn't waiting around for the cavalry to wake up. Okay, let's stop right here. This is a dumb article, and I'm not going to read the whole article because you can read it. Here's the deal. The Treasury is now officially monetizing the debt. In reality, they've been doing this stuff your whole life. It's just that now it's becoming impossible to hide it. Your best case scenario, your only scenario on the other side of Bo Blimp Doc, is that in 2019, the banking system failed and you were the last to find out about it. And what you got instead was a bullshit COVID psyop, a bullshit BLM Antifa psyop, a lot of bullshit, bullshit piled on bullshit. What if all the food processing stories and all the exploding cows having sex with herpes-infected chickens, what if all that logistical nonsense is 1970s-style Soviet dreck? And the reality is, the dollar failed, and you, American citizen, were the last to fucking find out. Because you've got a plastic spoon in your head. That's your bright side, brothers and sisters. That we are on the edge of an economic crack-up that will make the 14th century crisis look like, you know, as they say, a day in the park. That's the best case. At least 100 years of chaos. At least 100 years, essentially, of what you could call a depression. At least 100 years of governments failing, 100 years of war. Likely, there's going to be a nuclear war if, you know, as they say, nukes exist. And that's just for starters. The complexity of modernity at this point requires resources, and it's not just about oil or even just electricity. The complexity of civilization requires human resources. We are poisoning ourselves to death because we are reducing our cognition. By the choices we've made, we may have made it impossible to save ourselves. So if you want to understand, is Bo Blimpdoc nearly over? Yeah, I think it more or less is. And as I said in 2021, and I stick to it, at the end, it won't just be that they're popping smoke. At the end, you will understand that the hyperinflation already happened too. That what your home is, you say, oh, Dan, I live in Wallingford. And according to the county assessor, my home is worth $6.5 million blimpdoc dollars. That sounds like a wheelbarrow full of paper money, buddy. Hey, I live in Tacoma. I live in San Francisco. I live in New York City. And my home is no pity. It's worth $10 million. Yes, it's a mighty, mighty frickin' wheelbarrow full of fake-ass money that your home is, yes. But unlike the wheelbarrow, which you could sell and maybe get a loaf of bread, and unlike that printed money, which you could in theory burn and heat your home, there's nothing there. Your home is worth something if you can ship in the food from thousands of miles away. Your home is worth something if you can get yourself drinkable water. Your home is worth something if you can provide basic security. Your home is worth something if you can air condition it when the temperature outside is 100 degrees, but the wet bulb temperature is 120. Then your home might be worth something. It'll be one in several. Nothing in Western Washington was ever designed for air conditioning. And if you are too dumb to understand why, I cannot help you. At this point in time, if you see air conditioning sales up and down the I-5 corridor, then ask one logical question. Why? Because there isn't really a good reason except that something has changed. And, oh, but Dan, that means... No. Greta Thunberg is there to be a hobgoblin that lives in your head, not mine. Next topic. So I have a link to AP. I don't trust the news at this point, really, not much at all. But if you know this or don't know this, the war between Israel and Iran has gone hot, and they've been exchanging bombs and missiles, and all sides are saying they're winning or losing. This is popping smoke, too. In fact, I stick to my statement from a couple years ago, or almost 2 years ago, after 10/7, that no matter your moral feelings about the behavior of the state of Israel, what they've been doing since 10/7 is batshit fucking crazy. I agree it's evil, but then there's evil and then there's super dumb moronic evil. It looks like they're fighting Godzilla. We dropped 5,500 tons of TNT on Dresden, I think it was February 1945. I think it was 45. It could have been 44. But the point is the Dresden raid, the famous Dresden raid. We dropped 5,500 tons on a footprint roughly the size of Gaza. Since 10/7, the state of Israel has dropped more than 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. Now, I had one smart-ass listener email me and say, well, Dan, they're not distributing it equally. You think that's less dumb? The only thing I can think right now is they're fighting Godzilla, because none of it makes any sense. The only thing that explains it is it's a rush job. It's a rush job, folks. That moment in Goodfellas where you know they have to burn down the restaurant, that was probably the conversation that was had between Mossad and CIA and other deep state functionaries in August of 2023. That if they expected to have greater Israel, they better have it done in a couple years, because time's running out. I think Bo Blimpdoc's almost over, folks. Next topic. Dan, what's Grinkin' Time if you are going to bright side? Grinkin' Time is the biggest economic crack-up in human history, and it's entirely plausible that it could take hundreds of years to recover from it. And that is your bright side. Your ugly side is that we're on the verge of either hothouse Earth or Venus Syndrome, due to permafrost collapse. And the reason why I suspect this is that it's more of a Sovietology angle. I'm looking in the places where they don't want you to look. Greta Thunberg doesn't want you to look. Al Gore doesn't want you to look. Donald Trump, who just fired a whole shit ton of people at the National Weather Service, doesn't want you to fucking look. I look in places they don't want you to look. Now, there aren't that many places left. I will be talking about that later. Actually, no, I think I talked about it yesterday, so this is a topic from yesterday. But yeah, as I mentioned, I think, in yesterday's podcast, if you look into permafrost articles related to nitrous oxide, you hit a lot of dead links. I'm not saying nitrous oxide. There's a shit ton of links on the internet about nitrous oxide. But if you research that subject in relationship to permafrost, you hit dead links, you hit Nowhereville, it's really hard to find. The same thing is true for methane or clathrate release. You find these dead ends. So I don't know, folks. You go down your rabbit hole. Even though I don't fully trust Dane Wigington's website, I don't fully trust him. I think he could be a sheepdog. He does provide a lot of useful information. I believe that. At least 80%. The 20% I don't like, I can filter out just like you can. And maybe, guess what? Maybe I'm the same. I'm not saying famous or good or kind or perfect like him and Marcus Aurelius. But yeah, maybe 80%, 20%, who knows? Pareto principle, right? 80-20, whatever. I still recommend Dane Wigington because when it comes to geoengineering, he's the only voice out there providing any useful information at all. Even though he goes off on little tangents about his favorite Roman emperor and other stuff, he provides useful data. So I think you should look at his site, especially right now. Go to his YouTube channel. I have links. Next topic. So I have a link to Donald Trump's deferment. Here's something to note today before we go off on all my rants, because I got all kinds of crazy rants, and you've already heard a few. Donald Trump was deferred from serving in Vietnam. Now, whatever your feelings about the Vietnam War, understand this. Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and all of our other bullshit post-9/11 maybe didn't kill as many Americans as Vietnam did, but was just as stupid. Donald Trump got out of service. Donald Trump never served in the Army. He never went to basic training. He never went to advanced course. He never went to airborne school or ranger school. He doesn't have a fucking right to an opinion, in my opinion, about the Army. I think everybody has a right to an opinion about, you know, how we use the Army and the wars. It turns out, though, that's not a right you get. Like, any old piece of crap like Trump can have an opinion about the U.S. Army and celebrate Army Day or whatever, but none of us, even veterans, have a right to say what's going on right now in the world and being funded by our dollars is horrendous. That we are at a point in human history where we might have one last chance to save our asses. We are using our resources to drop bombs on poor people. If anybody believes that's rational or that has a good ending, they're crazy. Let's play pretend for a second. Let's play pretend that there's a group of people on the planet that have been so deeply harmed throughout history that you know, we all know it. They're all deeply harmed. If you had a student in a classroom and somebody hit the student, would you tell the student, okay, now you get to go around and hit everybody else? You get to remind everybody every day that you were once hit, and every time you remind them, you get to hit somebody else. We wouldn't accept that from children. We shouldn't really accept that from adults. We are now at a point in history where we're being told that revenge is okay. And that's assuming you believe the story that supports the revenge cycle. But what if the story is bullshit? Then what we're being told is it's okay to kill a bunch of people to solve problems. It's over, brothers and sisters. Either it's over or there is no God. I'm saying this before the Lord in heaven. If this kind of behavior can last even just a few more months, it's over. We're in a simulation, we're in a prison, alien reptiles. Maybe David Icke was right. But whatever you think normal is or whatever you thought 2019 is, it's over. I talked about popping smoke very early in 2020. I've revisited that subject for an obvious reason. I gave it to you as a marker. When you saw the level of bullshit, get past a certain point, you could at least recognize that it's over. Okay? And the level of bullshit right now, and not just evil bullshit, but just general crazy-ass bullshit, is off the fucking scale. And people need to believe it. That makes it even crazier. People you know, people that run nuclear power plants, people that fly airplanes, need to believe this fucking bullshit to get through the day. Eventually, we're going to run into people who have to be at work that day and won't be at work that day. It could be somebody at a boiling water nuclear power plant. It could be somebody who runs a chemical engineering facility. It could be just about anybody running a petrochemical facility or plant or port. It could be somebody doing a job that we frankly need. Not a make-believe job, not a lawyer job or a cop job or building prisons job or dropping bombs on people or, I don't know, feeding people BS like Twitter job. An actual job we need, like growing food and making sure nuclear reactors don't melt down. Eventually, those people won't be showing up for work. What happens then? Anyways, I think you have a right to question Donald Trump about the whole U.S. Army thing. If you ask me, I think things are getting so bad so fast that one explanation for the $50 million feat in Washington, D.C. involving the Army is that they don't think things will stick together. They think by July the 4th, things are going to be pretty bad. So this might be the only July 4th Thanksgiving America Pride Day that you're going to get. This could be the last one. So in a lot of ways, it kind of makes a lot of fucking sense. It's like a send-off. Goodbye. Whatever was left of your freedom, you fucked. Like Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it. But I think he was joking. I think he was in on the joke. I think he knew the Bill of Rights was lipstick on a pig, and eventually we would understand that. If you're on social media, and you feel as if you're being censored because of certain words you use, I've got some advice. I like the black box test social media. It's one of the reasons why I return to it. Not so much because I think it's useful or good for you. It is not. But in terms of black box testing, the cage, the information cage, the censorship, social media is fun. Here's something I figured out in the last couple days. The Grok AI that manages the threads for Twitter cannot, or X, if you want to call it X, cannot disambiguate certain types of words if you remove spaces. Now you might say, well, Dan, why is that important? A person who learns to read reaches a level of competence so that their ability, which is built into the brain to see patterns, helps them put in spaces where there aren't any. So anyways, if you remove certain spaces around certain dirty words or bad words or forbidden words, if you actually put them into a weird kind of composite that is still syntactically correct but without the spaces, a lot of people can, and I have verified, can read it. Bot accounts, make-believe accounts like this Gunther Eagleman, or frankly, some of the people I've met and interacted with. You know, I'm not even sure how real Jared Fitton is. At this point, Jared Fitton could have been a completely made-up person. A lot of the stuff since October with that Anna Merlan piece of shit doesn't really add up. What's funny, if Anna Merlan from Mother Jones was really interested in investigating a story, she should look into the fake accounts. Because, whatever, Jared's not even the biggest one. There are so many fake accounts, and it's so easy to detect them. But understand this, within the Chomsky hierarchy, the simplest language are languages created basically the way you create a finite state machine. Addition, alteration, and repetition. Any AI that had a relative level of competence would be able to disambiguate taking a bad word, removing a space, and creating a composite word, which a human can see. Any reasonable AI could do the same. It can't. Grok can't. And here's another thing. If they allowed Grok to do it, all hell would break loose on Twitter, /X, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So if you want to have fun on Twitter, just start removing spaces around certain words. I have an example. You can look at the example. If it offends you, fuck off. You know, You are solving problems from 2019 if you're on Twitter. You are solving problems from 2019 if you are bothered by any of the psyop, trauma monkey, mind control bullshit on any of the social media. You shouldn't even be on it. I shouldn't be. But at least I have a good excuse. I'm essentially prank phone calling in the year 2025 Bo Blimp Doc. Because yeah, maybe there's a couple days of Bo Blimp Doc left. Anyways, I don't mind saying Anna Merlan is a piece of shit. Her article, really a pump piece that she did, which was supposedly was lifting the lid off of Wide Awake Media, actually added 200,000 followers to his account. So yeah, she's a piece of shit. Jared Fitton is a piece of shit. There are a bunch of ginger beards. It's weird. I go back 10 fucking years and I think about these weird people that have either been damaging in minor ways or damaging in major ways. And what they all have in common is their ginger beards. They're gingers. They have beards. Many of them dress in black. Next topic. So currently, and again, this is Sovietology, but currently there's a lot of cover your ass, which means the publishing of articles so that when all hell breaks loose, certain types of people won't be immediately hung. These are scientists, engineers, people involved in geoengineering, people who understand what permafrost collapse is, have been covering it up for at least 20 to 30 years, perhaps my whole frickin' lifetime. And if they do understand what permafrost collapse is and understand what tipping points are and understand that whatever caused it, once you're past the rail, it's over. These people are covering their asses right now. A lot of these people are publishing. Another thing that's going on is that they are telegraphing that this summer is going to be a hot one, including the United States. It's been hot in a lot of places the last decade. It's been weirdly hot. Like it was warm and rainy around the Arctic Circle when there was a snowstorm in New Orleans the day after the inauguration. Do you think any of that adds up, brothers and sisters? Do you think any of that makes any sense? It doesn't. But again, you and I, and perhaps Trump has six of them, if he's real, have plastic spoons in our heads. But he's not really real. You don't invest time in smoke. They are telegraphing a long, hot, smoky summer for the United States. I would also guess floods and probably those gigantic hail that Dane Wigington's talked about, because they're probably going to push the geoengineering to the limit. One scenario I proposed is that they would come out about it right about now, and that could still happen. I mean, the fun thing about the Doge, especially all the emotional conflict between Gusky Gusk and Papa Blump, is it creates the dramatic background for the healing process between the hero and the heel, a la World Wrestling Federation trauma drama, so that when he comes back in from the cold, Gusky Gus can explain how he figured out we've been geoengineering for 50 or 60 years, and how if we stop doing it, temperatures around the United States would probably go up by about 20 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's at least that they've been hiding the fact that the ozone layer's trashed. That without the geoengineering, a lot more of us would be getting skin cancer than are already getting skin cancer. And of course, you can cruise down the limited hangout of, well, it's because of the sunscreen. Well, gee, dummy. When I was a kid, if you had 15 SPF, they thought that was way too much. Today, I see people putting on 70. Then I see people that don't, and they get a sunburn in about 5 minutes, when we have mostly sunny skies. I haven't seen an actual blue sky, dummy, in about, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. And a lot of the young folk don't even know what the hell a blue sky looks like. So yeah, one possibility is Gusky Gusk, in the next couple weeks, meets with Trumpity Blump and explains how he discovered the secret of how they've been geoengineering. And then Blumpity Blump goes on the, you know, whatever, the telescreen, and says, you know what, guys, we can turn it off, and you can burn, or we can turn it on, and we can keep using it, but we'll use it ethically this time. And not everybody would go for this, but at this point in this decaying, broken society, enough people would go for it, especially the Mega Man. Mega Man and Mega Woman would stand up for the poison from the sky, the aluminum that's killing them, the stuff that giving them, you know, cancer, Alzheimer's, hurting their kids. Mega Man will understand that they won't be eating. And again, there's a simple calculus to this. If they, and it's also called double catastrophe syndrome, but at this point, if they stop geoengineering, all hell breaks loose. If they don't stop, all hell breaks loose. If they don't stop, the food is poison. If they do stop, probably there'll be several years where there'll be no food being grown. And the reality is starvation and dying of thirst kills you way faster than cancer. I'm not saying cancer or Alzheimer's or diabetes are good things, but the reality is the starvation is worse. The simple math is enough people would support it. I stick by that. So they could come out about it and tell the truth, or they might just keep it a secret and just go full bore anyways. This summer is going to be fucking crazy. I think, like I said, one of the reasons why they did this U.S. Army celebration is because by July the 4th, which is only a couple weeks away, things could be that broken. I might be getting a job soon. I hope I do. It's hard to say. At this point in the game, it's musical chairs. I moved to this town a couple years ago, but there are lots of unemployed people who have been here a lot longer. And if I were wagering with respect to the job at the school that I hope I get, it doesn't really matter if I did well in the interview. It doesn't really matter if I would do a good job. If somebody they know with a kid is close enough, that's the person that's going to get the job. Y'all got to be at peace with this, folks. This is musical chairs. This is one thing I've also been consistent about for 10 years, that at a certain point in the future, it will be musical chairs. And when the music stops, a lot of people won't have a place to die. Did you understand what I just said? At this point, you're not talking about a place to live. A lot of people, perhaps most of the human race, in my opinion, best case, is about to go away. And no, that won't happen overnight. I mean, Grinkin time is going to be brutal, but it's not like all of the billions go into wood chipper immediately. But once it starts unfolding, best case scenario, billions are going to die, mostly through starvation, malnutrition. Many of them will die because of thirst. A lot of them will die because disease comes along for the ride. And if people start popping off nukes, many more billions are about to die. So when I say when the music stops, and I say you won't have a place to die, I mean it. 10 years ago, I may have given you a slightly more optimistic version, you'd have a place to live. But really right now, a lot of us, and it's funny, I wrote this essay about 10 years ago too, talking about, I wrote an essay, and I think in 2016, about going to the crawl space when I was a kid, and I'm just going to remember the essay, I won't reference it. If any of you fucking cared, you could go to the PDF archives, I don't fucking care. But the premise of the essay had to do with this conversation I had with a kid when I was 10 years old. And the idea is simple. I remembered the dogs we had on Highway 20, and one of the things I noticed about the dogs is sometimes they would go to the crawl space. Not always a crawl space, they would find themselves a place, a quiet place to be alone because they just got hit by a car and they're pretty certain they're going to die. And you could say, well, dogs don't know they're going to die. You know something, folks? I've learned a few things about dogs. Dogs get PTSD, and guess what? I think dogs know when they're going to die just like they know when their friends, their human friends, their owners, quote-unquote, are going to die. I think dogs are smarter than we realize. Separate topic. So I had this conversation with a friend, and I think it could have been fourth grade, maybe fifth grade, but it was right around that time, right around the year 1980, 81. And I said, I don't know why they go to the crawl space. And my friend said, they know. And again, it was just, they know. He said, they know, they have a feeling. People know this, that when a dog is dying, if it has the ability, it will often just crawl off someplace. And maybe this is the survival instinct. I'm really, really sick. I need to be alone because if I'm not alone, there'll be a predator. But I do think it's deeper than that. a lot of people 10 years ago in so many philosophical ways, in so many psychological ways, in so many features of their life, a lot of people about a decade ago started going to the crawl space. They wouldn't admit it to themselves because, hey, they were calling it a career change, a life change. They were slowing down. They're going to do regenerative farming, you know, and ignore the poison falling from the sky. A lot of people about a decade ago said they're going to go to the crawl space. That was an indication. There were many indications, many things people could have seen. The replacement of the extra different kinds of fruit you used to have with a little sushi station taking out all the protein that's left from a dying ocean. There were many indications we could have all seen. In 2019, at the beginning of 2019, there was the one security guard watching over the food at the local grocery store, and this is in really rich Seattle. By the end of 2019, there were two. And all of the stuff that you could put in your pocket was behind a plastic screen. You had to push a button to get help to open it up. This is way before the monkey herpes, way before the chapchaschopia. This was supposedly that last great year of the Trump economy when the banking system melted down during the summer of 2019. But Dan, that's because the monkey herpes travels through time. I know. I know, sweetheart. I know you need to believe the cargo prophet story. I know you need to join the cargo cult. I know you need this. Because if you admit to yourself that the COVID was bullshit, that Trump is bullshit, that pretty much everything you're being fed right now is bullshit, then you do have to ask the question, what the fuck are they hiding? And if you think they're hiding brilliant AI, see my earlier rant on how simple and basic finite state machine representations are, how a human can see through it, but Grok, the super AI that needs to use lots of water and electricity, red flag, can't see through it. And that's another thing, too. If you have a computer science or engineering background, understand the following statement. That's if you're not a communist. If a algorithm or process is better, invariably it's more efficient, which means it uses less electricity, less resources, less water. So one of the red flags you should have noticed with the AI revolution were the screams and screams and screams that we need to co-locate our gigantic data centers next to nuclear reactors. It is like, you know, joining two bad ideas at the hip, but the bottom line is, folks, it's that smart. AI is that smart that we have to basically redirect fresh water and electricity that you'll need for air conditioning. You're going to need the water to drink, but you need to redirect it to AI because it's so fucking smart. That's a red flag, but people don't want to see it. So I might get this job. I might not. I will be homeless in about a few weeks. This is the last month I have to live here. The person that runs this place is like everybody else, and that's the nicest thing I can say. Or not everybody else. The person that owns this place is like enough people. And as I've pointed out so many times before, it doesn't take everybody being a piece of crap to ruin the world, just enough. So she's like enough people, and I'll be moving out. I thought about writing a letter to the editor, posting an ad, maybe posting posters around Port Angeles, because this is how angry and despicable enough people are. And the actual poster will say the following: yo, I will be homeless soon. Most of you hate the homeless. You think we're all drug addicts. You think we're all crazy. You think we'll steal your shit. Do me and yourself a favor. Just fucking kill me. Signed, Dan. And I'll give them an address and a location. I'll be at the spot. So the people so full of their mega power, for all of the, you know, no more kings, liberal type freaks, for all the commies and the voters and the shitheads, all the good homeowners who are funding their school district with a pyramid scheme that makes it impossible for teachers to actually afford a home. For all you motherfuckers who are blaming the homeless for your fucking problems that involve printed money, just do me a favor. I don't have the time or energy to want to convince you of anything. I don't like the world you're building. I don't like the world you embrace. I think it's evil. Do me and yourself a favor. Be a person of consistency. Have some principle and just fucking kill me. And before you say that's crazy, when I moved to this town a couple years ago, I learned about something really crazy, and I doubt it's only here. I learned about some kids beating up homeless people. And I actually met some of these kids, and they're good kids. They're not bad kids. And this was in the news, so if you want to understand whether it was in the news, it was in the news locally. But my bet is a lot of these stories are being covered up because nobody gives a fuck about the homeless people. So it's okay for you to beat them. You could probably start killing homeless in Seattle, and as long as you weren't a total plastic spoonhead, you'd probably get away with it because nobody fucking cares. But Blimp Doc's almost over, folks. The real stuff is going to start happening, and it's going to be, best case, scary as fuck. And you're going to see things that you thought you would never see if you're around for more than a few days. And you're going to experience things that you never thought you'd experience if you're around for more than a few days or weeks, right? You will be expected to do things you never thought you'd have to do if you want to survive and protect the people you love. If you thought you would magically pick now to sell your home in Vegas or Seattle or San Francisco, if you thought now would be the good time to start selling your home to go to the country, it's too fucking late. The music will stop. Even if you showed up in some small town, you don't have investment there. They don't know you there. And your magical neoliberal Fukuyama, Fukuyama, history has ended, perfect society produced multiple generations of people who have an emotional IQ of zero. Those are your neighbors in the city. Those are your neighbors in the countryside. Those are most, not all, but I'd say most your fucking neighbors. And if you think now is the time you can escape your hell, all I can tell you is, when the music stops, everybody's going to be looking for a crawl space. When the music stops, a lot of people will be looking for a place to die. Have a great rest of your Saturday.